I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
We're waiting to hear the president speak. He's in Texas touring the damage from the floods, the devastation, the heartbreak, the tragedy there. So we'll probably dip into that a little bit and hear what the president has to say. There's a lot. Very, very busy Friday today. Rioters clashed with ICE agents during this raid of this marijuana farm in California, where they said there were undocumented underage kids working. And so the mayor of Los Angeles now, Karen Bass, is coming out with all these protections for illegal immigrants. And you've got Democrats like her doubling down on protecting illegal immigrants. All that's blowing up, too. But nothing like what's apparently happening in D.C. today. You know that a story is probably true when it converges between somebody who's considered by the media to be a conspiracy theorist and then the mainstream media, and they're both reporting the same thing, and the mainstream media even citing the reporting of the quote-unquote conspiracy theorist. So Laura Loomer, if you're not familiar with her, a controversial investigative journalist, as she describes herself, on social media, has the ear of the president, is tight in that circle, and is regarded by the mainstream media as being a conspiracy nut. All right? Axios, which is a publication that I would argue skews to the left, is reporting on Laura Loomer's reporting that Dan Bongino, the deputy director of the FBI, Kash Patel, the FBI director, and Pam Bondi, the attorney general, had a major blow up at the White House. Bongino may quit and is at least now taking the day off. Now, there's unconfirmed reports that he's taking a leave, but at least he's off today. That much we know. White House is saying he's not quitting. There are some sources who are confirming this and others who are saying that it is not as dramatic as you're hearing. But I tend to believe this story because, like I said, it's the perfect fusion here of somebody who's regarded as a conspiracy theorist and the quote unquote corporate mainstream media. So there's a there. Plus, there's this Wired article that the Jeffrey Epstein footage has been doctored. Now, that is not to say it's been manipulated necessarily, but it has been doctored. So a way to say it is that it's clear that that is not the raw video. It doesn't mean that they changed it, but it's not the raw video. It's been doctored. That doesn't mean they manipulated it to show something different, but it's definitely not the raw video based on their metadata analysis and other sources who also reviewed the video of the Jeffrey Epstein jail cell, which we were told that video never existed in the first place. And this missing minute that just happened to coincide with the cameras resetting or some nonsense like that. A lot of people are very upset and there's a lot of anger out there as people feel like we're not getting the truth. Why does this matter? Well, it matters for a lot of reasons. Number one, because Jeffrey Epstein is a world-class scumbag, obviously, who was engaged in trafficking underage girls. But it also matters because I have long said I believe he's an intelligence asset and that I think this has always been covered up by the intelligence community because Jeffrey Epstein had something to do with our national security, whether he was there to put people in compromising positions, whether he was working with the Mossad, whether he was working with the CIA. I mean, all I know is that the day that I heard that story, when the FBI raided his penthouse, his luxury penthouse, used a saw to open up the safe, saw these hard drives, the CDs, and other things that they had probable cause to take, in my opinion, even though I'm not an attorney, but and then it said that they said the warrant didn't extend to the contents of the safe. And they couldn't get a judge on the phone to give them a warrant to access the contents of the safe. So they left. and didn't come back until 4 days later. And guess what happened in those in the span of those 4 days? I know this will shock you. Everything in the safe, gone. So I always thought in the back of my head, and maybe it's because I grew up watching the X-Files. I don't know. Remember the cancer man guy, the overcoat who always seemed to show up, smoking cigarettes all the time, kind of giving the orders? I always imagined it's like that. Somebody from the national security complex walked in on the FBI and said, get out. Do not touch anything in that safe and get out. And they probably had a fight. And then somebody called somebody in Washington. And then they said, you got to get out of there. Because there's no reason in the world why in New York City, in the middle of the day, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Department of the United States Department of Justice, cannot get a federal judge on the phone to get a warrant. Even if it took an hour or 4 hours, where they got to be? They got nowhere to go. So you just stay there. You wait until you get the warrant. You don't leave. And then if you leave, you don't come back 4 days later when they had time to clean out whatever was in the safe. I mean, what the hell? Did they not even put up like the crime scene tape that you see in movies? The do not cross police line or tape on the door, something? Nothing. Apparently not. Because everything in that safe just vanished. I knew then. I said, that's it. And then the guy who prosecuted him down in Florida also said he was an intelligence asset. And that wound up basically costing him his career. Okay. So now we have Pam Bondi, the attorney general, a few months ago, inviting these MAGA influencers, as they're called. And they come to the White House and they get these binders. And this is the Epstein stuff. And this is just the beginning of more to come. I got the client list file on my desk, or I have the client list on my desk, depending on which story you're looking at. This is all built up. The truth's coming out. And then all of a sudden, nothing's there. There's no there, and that's it. And people are like, wait a second. That doesn't make any sense. Why would you build this up if there was nothing there? Why do you take the time to hand out these binders, invite these people to the DOJ, invite them to the White House, make a big spectacle out of this, and there's no there? And then this missing minute thing doesn't add up because you go, OK, so the tape that was gone, there was apparently no video footage. And then it suddenly was video footage. And now the video footage has a missing minute. And worse than that, the raw footage that we're told is the raw video. That means the video that comes right off the camera is not raw. It's been manipulated at least four different times using Adobe Editor. So apparently now, Kash Patel, Dan Bongino, and Pam Bondi got into a big screaming match at the White House. And Bongino threatened to quit. And Kash Patel and Dan Bongino were furious at Attorney General Pam Bondi, believe she's covering this up at worst. And at best, she just overplayed this and has so many people angry now at guys like Bongino and Kash Patel, and they say this is on her. So this is all happening as we speak right now. And like I said, the reason why I believe this story is because I saw Laura Loomer was tweeting about it early this morning, and then Axios reported on it, and then Axios actually cited her reporting, which, again, this does not really, this rarely happens, that they want to give somebody like her any credence whatsoever. And then I read the Wired story about the Epstein footage itself. And look, maybe you don't care. I do. I care because to me, it's like, once again, very powerful people getting away with it. And maybe there's a good reason for it because of national security, and maybe this will blow up some peace deal, or maybe this, I don't know. I don't know. All I know is this stinks. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. And the government lies to us all the time. And it stings, especially when it's our guys doing it to us, when it's our people lying to us. But you know as well as I do, there's more there to this story. And clearly now, Kash Patel and Dan Bongino don't want to let this go either. So maybe we'll get something on this. That could be very, very helpful if we do get some actual truth on this. And then there's Alan Dershowitz. Alan Dershowitz, who came out and said that, yes, there's an Epstein client list. Absolutely. He knows people that are on it, but he's got attorney-client privilege, and he can't say anything about this. So there's that aspect of it, too. In fact, why don't we play Alan Dershowitz? You can take a listen to what he said. Go ahead.
This is not an opinion. This is a fact. I have seen—remember, I was accused falsely, and the Epstein And ultimately, I was completely cleared. The woman admitted that she may have mistook me for somebody else and withdrew all of her lawsuits. And so from day one, from the day I was accused, I said I want every document out because I knew every document would prove I was innocent. So let me tell you, I know for a fact documents are being suppressed. And they're being suppressed to protect individuals. I know the names of the individuals. I know why they're being suppressed. I know who's suppressing them. But I'm bound by confidentiality from a judge and cases, and I can't disclose what I know. But I hand to God, I know the names of people whose files are being suppressed in order to protect them. And that's wrong.
Just out of curiosity, without names, are these politicians, business leaders, both?
They're everything. And let me tell you, a lot of them are, at least one of them is somebody who was accused. Others are accusers. And the judges have said, if somebody calls themselves a victim, we're not going to give any information about them. But they may not be victims. They may be perpetrators.
Okay. I think it's very obvious this guy was somebody very important to our government, despite the fact that he was an absolute scumbag. And our government has used scumbags in the past, and that's that. But all of this, there's too many coincidences here for me to go, oh, yeah, I'm just buying this. Now, here's the latest. Metadata shows the FBI's raw Jeffrey Epstein prison video was likely modified. There's no evidence the footage was deceptively manipulated, but ambiguities around how the video was processed may further fuel conspiracy theories about Epstein's death. In the 11 hours, they released 11 hours of what it described as full raw surveillance footage from a camera positioned near Jeffrey Epstein's prison cell the night before he's found dead. The release was intended to address these conspiracy theories that are out there. Metadata, which is embedded in the video and was analyzed by Wired. Wired is not some far-right publication. I would say, again, excuse the left. As well as independent video forensic experts show that rather than being a direct export from the prison surveillance system, the footage was modified, likely using the professional editing tool Adobe Premiere Pro. The files appear to have been assembled from at least two source clips, saved multiple times, exported, and then uploaded to the DOJ's website, where it was presented as raw footage. Now, they don't know what was changed. The metadata does not prove deceptive manipulation. It may have just simply been processed for public release using available software with no modifications beyond stitching together two clips. But the absence of a clear explanation for the processing of the file using professional editing software complicates the Justice Department's narrative in a case already clouded by suspicion. The ambiguity surrounding how the file was processed is likely to provide fresh fodder for people like me. Because remember, we were told that there was no video in the first place. Then they said that they've seen the video. Then they said they had to process the video. Then they said that we were given the raw video. And then there's a minute missing from the raw video. They said they gave us the enhanced and then raw. Both versions of the video appear to have been processed using Adobe Premiere and include much of the same metadata. According to the FBI, anyone entering the area containing Epstein's cell during the relevant time frame would have been visible on the camera. Working with two independent video forensic experts, Wired examined the 21 gigabyte files released by the DOJ using a metadata tool. Reporters analyzed both exchangeable image file format and extensible metadata platform data to identify signs of post-processing. The raw file shows clear signs of having been processed using an Adobe product, most likely Adobe Premiere, based on metadata that specifically references file extensions used by the video editing software. Adobe software, including Premiere and Photoshop, they leave traces in exported files, often embedding metadata that logs which assets were used and what actions were taken during editing. In this case, the metadata indicates the file was saved at least four times over a 23-minute span on May 23, 2025, by a Windows user named MJCole1. The metadata does not show whether the footage was modified before each time it was saved, but it does suggest the video is not a continuous unaltered export from a surveillance system, but a composite assembled from at least two separate files. And it goes on, but they basically say, they bring in this forensics professor who's a professor at a college, who's often brought into court to testify on these things. He said, based on this, this would never stand up in court. If you tried to introduce this, because he said data, metadata, has to have the same chain of custody as physical evidence. So if you're going to use digital evidence, it's got to have the same exact, handled in a way to preserve the integrity of that evidence, just like if it was a physical gun or a physical rope or something like that. It has to be the same. He said, if a lawyer brought me this file and asked if it was suitable for court, I'd say no. And then the other point is, why am I suddenly seeing a different aspect ratio? Because that's the other point in the video, is that the aspect ratio changes as well. Now, according to a 2023 report from the Department of Justice Office of the Inspector General, the detention facility where Epstein was found hanged had around 150 analog surveillance cameras. But starting on July 29th, 2019, a technical error prevented roughly half of them from recording, including mostly inside the secure housing unit where Epstein was. Now, get this. The system was scheduled for repairs on August 9th, the night before Epstein was found dead. But the technician assigned to fix the system couldn't access the necessary equipment because the corrections officer required to escort him was nearing the end of his shift. All right, so it's the day before Epstein kills himself. Repairman shows up. Hey, I'm the cable guy. I'm here to repair your surveillance cameras. And the guy's like, I would take you, but shift's almost done, so I can't. So we're going to have to put off this repair of our surveillance cameras. And the guy's like, okay, leaves. And the next day, Epstein kills himself. Okay. All right. Again, just probably a coincidence. As a result, only two cameras were operational near his cell when they found Epstein hanging. One covering the common area and the stairwells near the entrance to the adjacent unit, and another monitoring a ninth floor elevator bay. Neither captured Epstein's cell door. Neither of those two cameras captured the cell door. But they say that the footage confirms that he was locked in his cell at approximately 8 p.m. and between 10:40 p.m. and 6:30 a.m. the next morning, no one entered the tier where the cell was located. However, the recording includes a notable gap. Approximately 1 minute of footage is missing from 11:58:58 p.m. to 12 a.m. The video resumes immediately afterward, and they say that that minute was when the system has to reboot. There's like a minute where the camera goes down so the system can reboot itself or something. I don't know, but there you go. And remember, we were also told at one point that this video never existed in the first place. Department of Justice back in, I think it was 2021 or 2022, said that the video didn't exist. That was Comey's daughter who said that. That the video had been destroyed, even though they had requested that they maintain the video because his cellmate, the lawyers wanted it for him, and they said, well, the video that we had is actually of the wrong cell. The video of the Epstein cell, that was destroyed accidentally. And the one we have is of another guy. That was the original thing they told us. And then somehow it appeared out of thin air. And then now it shows that the metadata shows that it was manipulated, not necessarily deceptively manipulated, but manipulated nonetheless. Spliced together and aspect ratios changed. So Dan Bongino is furious and has now left, at least for the day. I don't know if we'll be back on Monday. I don't know. We'll see if there's any updates during the show today. But that's what happened today. So a crazy freaking day, a crazy couple days. But I think it's very obvious this has been handled very poorly, and everybody's putting the blame on the attorney general, because they're saying, hey, you're the one that, you know, not for nothing came out and said, hey, we got all this stuff. Here are these binders. I got the client list. I got all this. And it was a big ungatz, a big nothing burger, as they say. And people were very upset by that. And then you got the Dersh coming out going, I know there's a list. I know people who are on it. I can't say because of attorney-client confidentiality, but I know there's people on it. I know who they are. Powerful people. So the plot thickens, and we will see what the next hours and days bring us, but the story's not over yet. At least, not yet. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Gianno Caldwell is going to join the show today at 4 o'clock. I'm very excited to welcome him. We have our big event coming with him July 31st. We have our VIP tickets, and today, general admission tickets go on sale as well. But you definitely want to get the VIP ticket. Either way, go to 1210WPHD.com right now and get your ticket. Politics and Pints with me, hosting Gianno Caldwell, and his book, The Day My Brother Was Murdered. President Trump has endorsed the book. It's a gritty, raw, emotional. We're going to have a great night. It's going to be a lot to talk about. And Gianno's a Fox News superstar, so this will be a lot of fun. So that's July 31st at the Zlock Performing Arts Center at Bucks County Community College in Newtown, PA. Easy to get to from literally everywhere. So get your tickets now, 1210WPHD.com, and we'll be right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
The president is going to participate in a roundtable in Texas. On Tuesday, he's going to be doing a roundtable with Senator Dave McCormick in Pittsburgh. I'll be there. I got invited. Senator McCormick's team invited me to come. I'm going to do the show live from the event. So that's really cool because McCormick is, it's a whole energy summit, and he has all these big tech bigwigs there, and the president's going to be there. And so I'll be there too and do the show from there, maybe get some interviews and, you know, see what it's like. And then we'll take the president live from the event, which is cool too. So that'll be fun. And that's on Tuesday. I'll make the drive up to Pittsburgh because it's not easy to get to the Berg. You know, you can't. There's no train to get there. So you either got to drive or fly. But I don't. I'll just take a drive. Nice drive. Listen to something. It's not talk radio to clear my head before the show. It's what I do. It's my process. Anyway, listening to a lot of news today and getting ready for the show today, one thing is very, very obvious. The Democrats are freaking nuts. They really are. And they are hell-bent on doubling down on defending criminal illegal aliens. They're just hell-bent on this. This is what they're doing. I mean, this is what they want. So they had this raid at this marijuana processing facility in California. They found these underage kids. Remember the whole story about how, and the New York Times was the first to break the story. You had hundreds of thousands of missing children in this country, undocumented missing children, people that they just disappeared. The kids just disappeared. And then further investigation, many of these kids were in forced labor. Many of these kids were sex trafficked. Many of these kids went with they said they were family members, but they weren't family members. And the kids were just basically you want to talk about people disappearing. Well, these kids disappeared, hundreds of thousands of them. And this was not some vast right-wing conspiracy. I mean, this was really, again, mainstream media reporting this. And then as more and more details came out about it, you know, it became a big talking point for the president during the campaign. Well, today they raided a place where they found at least 9 kids who were underage and undocumented working at this place. And they raided it, and instead of the mayor of Los Angeles and Gavin Newsom saying how horrible it is that kids are being used in underage labor, they came out and screamed about ICE. And then they had all these protesters that came out and went after ICE, too. And then you had the mayor out there whining about how unfair this is and just trying to gloss over the fact that you have these undocumented underage kids who were there. President Trump said today, talking about this, and he talked about the missing children. And this is before he boarded Marine One to head to Air Force One to go to Texas. This is what the president said today, cut number one.
I think we've done very well on immigration. We were given a very bad hand by Biden. He allowed 25 million people to come in totally unchecked, unvetted. We're getting the criminals out, and we're getting them out fast. The courts have ultimately done the right thing. Amazingly, they've really done the right thing. And they understand it's really the survival of our country. It's a very important thing. We can't have like 11,888 murderers. And, you know, something that you should have that you haven't reported. As you know, 300,000 children are missing, right? 300,000 under Biden. We've already gotten back 10,000 of those children. And we have a lot more planned to come back. We're getting them back by the thousands. But 300,000, and we, as of this morning, over 10,000 we've gotten back.
All right. The mayor of Oxnard, California, says that the ICE raid at this marijuana farm that exploited children for labor was unjust and unwarranted. And he's going to play the card of the moms being taken away and the kids and, you know, the usual kind of violins you would expect from something like this. This is Cut 28.
I've talked about these operations before, how I personally feel they're unjust, unwarranted, and just unnecessary, and it's creating a lot of distress in our communities. I'm hearing that single women are being arrested, leaving behind 3-4 kids at home, and how do we reunify that family? And this is just completely unnecessary, and it's unwarranted, and I'm making sure that emergency personnel are on standby, ready to provide services should there need be, and I'm also working with our governor's office and our state attorney general's office to see if we can explore legal avenues to just stop these operations from occurring.
These operations, though, we're going after underage kids working at this marijuana farm. But instead of the left saying how outrageous that is and saying, yeah, you know what, we want to partner with ICE. We got to find these kids, these missing kids. Hundreds of thousands of them are missing. We don't know where they are. They could be in serious danger, and they could be being used for, I mean, underage labor and far worse. No, instead, they're just angry at ICE for doing the job of going after and cracking down on illegal immigrants. Again, enforcing the law that was passed by Congress, a bipartisan law that was passed by Congress, and ICE doing their job. So they scream at ICE officers, and they throw things at them, and they attack them, and they make them out to be the villains. Here's the mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, who's announcing efforts to support and protect illegal immigrants in Los Angeles. Cut number 6.
So the executive directive that I will be signing in a few minutes is to help the city family, to help the city workforce, to help the city departments and all of the general managers essentially develop preparedness plans that have specific protocols and that help city workers know how to address immigration officials should they approach a city department.
Okay, and, you know, the point that was made, though, was by acting ICE Director Ted Lyons, you know, if you weren't a sanctuary city, if you cooperated with us, we wouldn't have to on the streets. Turn the criminals over to us. Remember, what makes a sanctuary city? It's not giving people sanctuary in churches, like this is the 1500s in France. It's the fact that they're not turning over criminals to ICE. That's the problem here. Cut number 7.
Something that Karen Bass, the mayor of L.A., just said caught my attention when she said, how do we know that this is an arrest and not a kidnapping? I'll turn it over to you. How would she know?
Well, I mean, Data, you can see from all the video, too, right? They say the ICE agents, they're not properly marked. You see them in their tactical gear, in their vest, where, you know, you see plainly see FBI, ATF, ICE, HSI, ERO, whoever's out with us. So the mayor's claims are just totally false. And what she's doing is making people afraid of us. If, you know, L.A. wasn't a sanctuary city, we wouldn't have to go on the streets. If they turn these criminals over to us in a secure setting, we would not be out there. So what the mayor is doing is she's stoking the flames of this, and she's the one that's making it worse than what it really is.
Yeah, and that's the problem, is that she's determined to keep doing that. To keep doing that, and you've got child labor, and you've got these kids, and we got to get them. And we got to find these children. This is not something that we should just dismiss. I don't know how anybody can have a soul and think it's... We just ignore the fact that there are 300,000 minors missing, unaccounted for. I don't know how anybody with a soul can possibly feel that way, but there we go. And the Democrat Attorney General for Maryland, they're not going to cooperate with ICE either. Neither is the mayor of Chicago. A lot of these Democrats are not doing this. Here's Tom Homan slamming Democrats for spreading the hoax about ICE and saying that these agents are out there kidnapping people off the streets and making them disappear and everything else. This is cut number four.
You talk about those politicians and the rhetoric that clearly seems to be fueling much of this, but you've also got some distortion of the facts. This was a post that California Governor Gavin Newsom put up yesterday. Kids running from tear gas, crying on the phone because their mother was just taken from the fields. Trump calls me new scum, but he's the real scum. We later find out there were 10 juveniles in that operation, that were eight of which were unaccompanied minors. What do you say?
I see this every day, and I said from day one, when President Trump became president, that they're going to vilify the men and women of ICE. They'll vilify the men and women of Border Patrol. They did it during the last administration, except this time, the rhetoric's at an all-time high. Every day, I get up and I read the media posts at the White House, and 90% of the stories are just fake. They're lies. So, and people say, well, the polls are kind of turning against Donald Trump a little bit on immigration. First of all, I don't believe it. If the polls turn it off, it's because all the fake news out there, they're lying about what the president Trump is doing. They're lying about what the men and women of ICE are doing. And that kind of turns, you know, the tide against us a little bit. But that's why, you know, members of the administration are out there every day setting the facts straight.
I don't know how we went from having Democrats like Bill Clinton saying that we need to have secure borders and we need to deport people who are in this country illegally to now we're angry at ICE for rescuing kids who are being used in underage labor. I mean, how freaking nuts has the Democrat Party gotten here? But they're all doubling down on this. And the next thing you're going to start seeing is you're going to start seeing Democrats get arrested. Gavin Newsom's already said it. So we're going to talk about that as well as we continue along the show here today. But I want to thank my friend and my dentist, Dr. Mike Veneria. I've known him for years. Mom is the only discovered him for our family, and he's done a great job for my family as well. And I want you to see him, too. So why him? Well, look, for starters, you got to realize for over 10 years in a row, 10 consecutive years, other dentists send their patients to Dr. Mike and recognize him as being a master of implant dentistry, a master of complicated dental work. So if they're sending their patients to Dr. Mike, you know he's doing something right. Plus, with him, it's about care. It's about compassion. It is not about cost. That's the other difference. Now, you might have a dentist closer to you, but you want to go to the best, and that's Dr. Mike Veneria. With two locations for you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, make sure Dr. Mike Veneria is the guy you go see, all right? You're great people working in the office, and you get a free implant consultation. Dental implants are complicated stuff, so you want to make sure you're getting it done right. That's what you'll get with Dr. Mike. So just go to VeneriaDental.com today, make your appointment. And remember something, too. Your dental health is key to your overall body health as well, because there's a link between your mouth health, your gut microbiome. It's all related. And that's why you really got to make sure you see a dentist. They say twice a year. And I believe that, too. And I just saw him last week because he had to fix a filling for me. So when people ask him, is Rich really your dentist? Or is Rich really your patient? Yes, I really am a patient of Dr. Mike Veneria. So Dr. Mike Veneria, my friend, my dentist, and the master of dental implants, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
So the details of what happened here, very simple. Federal agents conducted a massive operation at the Camarillo marijuana farm. Politicians push the false narrative that food workers and children are being raided. This is all from Bill Malusian reporting this. Feds disclose they have criminal judicial warrant for harboring aliens. A protester appears to shoot a gun at agents. Protesters throw rocks at federal vehicles. Eight unaccompanied migrant children recovered at the cannabis farm. Child labor investigation is being initiated. And that was from 15 hours ago. We now know there were nine. But this is what, you know, this is what we're dealing with. The president is speaking right now in Texas. We're going to jump in here and take a listen to what he's saying regarding the floods here. He just toured the facilities, or the damage, I should say.
I've never seen anything like it. A little narrow river that becomes a monster, and that's what happened. But the First Lady and I are here in Texas to express the love and support and the anguish of our entire nation in the aftermath of this really horrific and deadly flood. Nobody has any idea how and why a thing like this could happen. It's and by the way, I have to tell you, the people here, first responders, the sheriff's office, all of the police, law enforcement, they've done an unbelievable job. And in speaking to the parents, they said everybody has been so professional, from the governor to the senators, all the way down to the local people on the site that really are a little bit used to this. They've been looking at this for years, but in much smaller doses, you know, much, much smaller doses. 12 years ago, and then 1932, they had a real bad one, but that bad one was half of what this was. But I was speaking to some of the great people in the town, and they said, no, every year we get a little bit, but it was like a little bit of a flood, right? You were telling me, and it was just a flood. We got used to it. We had people, and we took care of it. And this year, it was like, what's going on, right? So all across the country, Americans' hearts are shattered. I had to be here as president. First Lady wanted to be here. All the beautiful souls, and we're filled with grief and devastation. It's the loss of life. And unfortunately, they're still looking. There's a lot of missing children, possibly, mostly. We don't know. But they're still looking. And they'll find everybody. But it's not an easy thing. You would think it would be easy. It's very tough. I looked at what they're going through, what they have to do. But dozens and dozens of precious children taken from us with such, right? I looked at the pictures of almost all of them, and it's terrible. Following a torrential downpour, the worst that anyone's ever seen, Guadalupe River rose 26 feet in less than 45 minutes, and I've even heard it went well over 30 feet. There's one story that one person said it had to be 60 feet at one moment. This is like a giant, giant wave in the Pacific Ocean that the best surfers in the world would be afraid to surf. And it unleashed a catastrophic flooding as the most residents were asleep in their beds. A very dark evening. The waters claimed at least 135, 140 lives. They're getting that count, but the count that they don't have is how many are still missing. But a lot of lives, a lot of young angels. At the girls' Christian summer camp, known as Camp Mystic, a legendary camp, a camp that people would want to go to from all over the country. People, parents, they come and they would stay with their children. They'd stay in other cabins just to be with their children, but a legendary place. They were there because they loved God. And as we grieve this unthinkable tragedy, we take comfort in the knowledge that God has welcomed those little beautiful girls into his comforting arms in heaven. And we believe that, have to believe that, and we do. And we lost some wonderful people beyond the little girls. We lost some very brave men and women that tried to save the girls. Our nation, we mourn for every single life that was swept away in the flood, and we pray for the families that are left behind. It's amazing the incredible spirit from those families. I don't know. I don't even know how they do it. But moments ago, Melania and I spent a lot of time with them. That's why we're a little late. I think this was a good reason to be late, frankly. And we just gave our warmest condolences. But you say to yourself, you know, how do you give condolences? How do you do that to a young person that 3 days ago was here, 4 days ago was here and vibrant, and now is no longer here. The search for the missing continues. The people that are doing it are unbelievable people. That you couldn't get better people than this anywhere, Christy, right? Anywhere in the world, you couldn't get better people. And they're doing the job like I don't think anybody else could, frankly. And I want to thank them. I want to thank all of these great first responders who raced into very grave danger. We have some people that were incredible. The single Coast Guard rescue crew saved an incredible 169 children at Camp Mystic. 169. And the camp staff was also incredibly courageous. Are those Coast Guard people around here someplace? Because I hear some incredible, incredible people. And I actually, Scott Ruskin, is he around? Where's Scott?
He's not here right now, sir. So, but he will be here later, and I will be.
Oh, okay. Well, you let him know.
With some,
and
know.
John Dunn, the owner of the Hunt store, was a flood. Where are you? Okay, good. We spoke a little while ago, and it's sort of, John was telling me some stories about that store, and it was just really amazing.
Yes, Mr. President. First, let me correct. I was owner of the Hunt store from 2013 till April of last year, where I actually sold the store to Haley and B.B. Lehrman, who are excellent operators, and they're on the ground right now in Hunt, leading the effort there together with the fire department, the churches, the schools, what have you, and they're doing a phenomenal job.
Good job.
My role in it is I had seller finance the deal. And
you're going to bring it back?
I'm absolutely going to bring it back.
And the walls are up? The two walls are up?
There's belief out there that it was a total loss. It's not. A gentleman by the name of Larry Graham put up some incredible walls in 1973. And he's a great engineer, and those walls are still standing.
Save the walls.
Save the walls.
Okay.
And the goal is, and I think we can get it done between Haley, BB, myself, and some outside help that we're going to be getting. I think we're going to get it reopened very quickly.
Good.
I think it's important to get it open quickly because once we do, the community can get back to a sense of normalcy. I think it'll be good for the community. I think it'll accelerate the recovery process. There's a lot that has to be done, but I'm impressed and very pleased with the resources that I think are going to become available through the conversations with Chip Roy, Governor Abbott's office, and others, that we will get it done quickly. Yes, sir.
Thanks, John. Good luck with it. Okay, I'm sure you will. The search for the missing is continuing, as you know, and today I especially want to thank all of these incredible people from the Coast Guard, and you'll give my regards in particular to some of the people we mentioned. Every American should be inspired by what's taken place during this short period of time, and I want to thank Governor Abbott. He's an amazing guy. We come very, very close politically and personally, and we've had a tremendous relationship with Texas. I guess Texas brought us together. We were together fine, but now we're together a lot more, and I want to thank Cecilia, your great wife, who's been our friend for a long time. The job you do is really incredible in so many different ways, including with the border and every different way. Admired by everybody. Secretaries Christy Noem, Brooke Rollins, Scott Turner, and Administrator Kelly Loeffler, they all wanted to be here. Some of them hopped on the plane with me. Senators John Cornyn and Ted Cruz, you're here. We're among us. And thank you very much. Our great Lieutenant Governor, I see you sitting there. I don't know if they even have your name down, but when I'm here, your name is down, right? He's doing a good job. Always did. Always did. Also, numerous members of Congress, including Chip Roy, from the district. This is Chip's district. I had a lot of time last week we spent with Chip Roy getting that great, big, beautiful bill passed. And who would have thought? And he's not easy, but he's good. Where is he? Where's Chip? Who would have thought this was going to happen? And he called because we had a big ceremony set up. And he said, you know, we have a little bit of a flood here, and I think it's going to be a little bit. I better stay here. I better not come back and go to it. And he wanted to be there. He was a part of it, a big part of it. And then he called again, and he said, this is bad. And then it got really bad, far beyond your worst, wildest imagination, right? So thank you very much, Chip. I appreciate it. And Brian Babin also is, I don't know if Brian's here. But we do have, and I have to just give some of the names because this is, it's very unusual. Nathaniel Moran, Dan Crenshaw, all of these people wanted to be here. Keith Self, Jake Elzey, August Pfluger.
Right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll pause this for you, and we'll be back. And General Caldwell is going to join us. We got a busy, busy hour straight ahead for us, so don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.